Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. The text for our meditation this morning is our first reading from Acts chapter 3, here especially verse 16. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. This is the text. You may be seated. Dorothy sure had it rough. After biting the mean old neighbor lady, Dorothy's dog has been ordered to be put down. He's been deemed a menace to society. The dog, of course, didn't know any better. He was just trying to protect Dorothy. It wasn't fair. So Dorothy realizes that her life would be so much better if only they would run away from home, where no one could threaten her or her dog any longer. That, of course, is how Dorothy and Toto ended up in the wonderful land of Oz, after being caught in a midsummer Kansas twister. Oh, it's not the most serious of problems a person could have, but then again, Dorothy was young. To her, it was a very big deal. We see in The Wizard of Oz a person wanting a better life for herself. And this is a common theme in the human experience. Our first reading today introduces us to another such person, but we have to back up a little bit first, because we don't hear the whole story, just kind of the aftermath of it. The whole story goes like this. Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray one afternoon, and there was a man there begging. He'd been crippled from birth, and the goodwill of others was his only means of supporting himself. He'd struggled and suffered his whole life, unable to walk, unable to work, unable to care for himself. He'd surely have run away too, if only running had been an option for him. No, he had to be carried anywhere he wanted to go. And the only real place he had to go was where the people were, where the sheer volume of passers-by would likely yield him some return for his efforts in pleading for charity. So these two, Peter and John, happened by on their way into God's house to pray. The man did the only thing that he could do. He asked Peter and John for a bit of coin to get him through his day, perhaps even through his week. And that's when the story takes a bit of a turn. Instead of meeting the man's request, as we might expect, Peter famously replies, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And the most amazing thing happened. Taking him by the right hand, Peter helped him up, and the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. This man had wanted a better life, and he got it. So in our text then, following, Peter goes on to declare just what's going on here. This man, this crippled man who'd never walked a day in his life, has been granted perfect health through Jesus. Jesus, the Messiah, was crucified, died, and was buried, and was raised to life again by the power of God the Father. He is, as St. Paul would later say, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. In the resurrection of Jesus, perfect health is restored to all humanity and will be enjoyed by all who trust in Him. The illnesses and the handicaps that have plagued creation from the bite of that other first fruit so long ago are no more. They've been overcome by Christ and are a thing of the past. Creation has been restored. The curse has been undone. Well, that's great for the crippled beggar of Acts chapter 3. And for all those who've experienced some other miraculous healing in their lives. Oh, we hear marvelous accounts of paralyzed people being made to walk, of cancer being instantaneously eradicated, of people even coming back from death. And these are awe-inspiring examples of God's mercy and of the kind of restoration that Peter here declares. But they are the exception rather than the rule. In the past few weeks, I've watched videos of my friends and read Caring Bridge updates from my friends whose children have been afflicted with pain and suffering that I can't even imagine. And I really don't want to. Their descriptions of the surgeries that these young ones have been made to endure are horrific. And the worst of it is, those surgeries are never going to make their daughters well, only better. And in all likelihood, only for a time. Many of you navigate the challenges presented by food allergies or celiac disease. And it may seem a small thing, but your life is ruled by what you can and can't eat. That's got to be incredibly frustrating and exhausting. There are so many ways people suffer in this life, often silently, hoping and praying for relief that doesn't come. When I think about them, I have to admit that my family and I have been incredibly blessed. And whatever struggles we may have are even less significant than Toto being sentenced to death for a bite on the leg. In the face of trials, it's easy to grow weary and even to despair. Because if, as Peter says, perfect health comes through faith in Jesus, well, then why doesn't that happen to me? After all, I believe in Jesus. Or do I? Maybe my faith isn't strong enough. Maybe I don't really believe at all. Maybe God's punishing me for something that I haven't yet confessed. Or worse yet, maybe God is punishing my child for something that I've done. And oh, how the tempter loves to plant those seeds of doubt and mistrust in our hearts. Anything to drive a wedge between God and His beloved. Because once the crack is opened, however small, it doesn't take very much to widen it. And each diagnosis, every failed treatment, test after test, procedure after procedure, he taps the wedge a little more, drives it just a little further in, until eventually all we can see is the suffering. Why is this happening to me? All we can hear is the accusation. Did God really say? All we can do is lose hope. God doesn't really love me. That crippled beggar received a tremendous gift from God that day. If you're left wondering why such marvelous things don't happen to you or to your children or to those whom you know and love, then know this. As wonderful as that gift was, it didn't last. That man still died eventually, as did all those whom Jesus or any of his disciples ever healed. Even Lazarus, who'd been dead already and whom Jesus raised back to life, would still die again. The real gift that man received, and the same gift that God has given to you, is the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. That's the perfect health that comes through Jesus. By his death, Christ has conquered death and all of the afflictions that it brings. By his resurrection, he has restored life as God intended it, just the way Adam and Eve lived in Eden. You have been joined inseparably to that death and resurrection in holy baptism. His death is now yours, and his life is now yours. Paul writes, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." In our epistle that we heard read today, John declares, "We are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We, you and me, shall be like Jesus, raised, glorified, perfected, never to struggle or be sick or crippled or die again. Your victory is as sure as his resurrection from the dead. In the meantime, you may, and in all likelihood will, still struggle. The curse will continue to rear its ugly head and have its way with your body and your life. But you can be a blessing to others who struggle like you do. You can face each day with courage, trust, and hope because of the glory for which you're waiting to be revealed. You can be the one to hold the light for another who's walking in the darkness. You can inspire others to ask, as this same Peter would later write, those who ask for a reason for the hope that you have, and you can point them to the same Jesus to whom this same Peter pointed those observers on that day. You can say with Paul, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Dorothy comes to realize this by what she experiences in the Land of Oz. There is no place like home, she learns. My life isn't so bad after all. I can handle it because I have people there who love me and who will not let me go. For you and me, there's no place like here. Because here we have Jesus who loves us and will never let us go. Whatever may come, he will hold you and keep you until he finally brings you perfect health. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.